This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is a Thursday. Oi, Pumi, your microphone sounds diseased. She's not going to work. Angazi, why? No, it's... Sorry, Pums. A different seat for you today. All right, this mic is so temperamental. Like we've had technical people come in here and turn it upside down, check every connection, and some days it just goes, and it's just not going to cooperate. Maybe it's time to replace the thing. Throw it out on the scrap heap.
It's officially one of us.
Yes.
Some days we have great days. Some days we don't.
That's a good point. Actually, we should be more forgiving.
It's officially one of us.
Good point. So, good morning. It's already, we move steadily into the second week of February from tomorrow. I mean, week, you know, in terms of 7 days. Today's the 7th, and I've been reading a lot. I told you, right? Are we swapping chairs as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I told you I've been reading a lot lately, which I'm very proud of, because you've got to make time to read. It's not going to make itself, and you're not... It's not going to be luck or circumstance or a holiday. You got to force yourself to read.
What are you reading?
I'm reading a bunch of different things at the moment. I'm reading this really fascinating book on chemistry, which only I would be interested in. So I'm not going to go into that.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'm reading a two.
Don't take us down like that.
No. But you don't want to. Trust me. This is. I mean, it's all about the inert gases, which are the chemicals that all other chemicals want to be. Helium, neon, argon, krypton, xenon, and radon. Those are the five gases.
It's about ambition. It's the chemicals that all other chemicals want to be.
Wow, look at you drawing out a theme from
this. They're called the noble gases. And you know,
We have one.
Like I'll give you a very, very brief summarized dissertation of why they're interesting. Because all the metals want to lose an electron so that they can become the noble gases. All the non-metals want to gain an electron so they can become the noble gases.
Because they're stable.
Correct. They don't react. Like helium, to all our knowledge, and we've been experimenting now with helium properly for about the last 50 years, because we didn't think there was any experimentation to be done.
Helium, that it makes your voice squeaky.
It makes your voice squeaky, correct, because it goes over your vocal cords, creates a different density of air. And that's, I mean, helium doesn't react with anything, right? It does not react. So you can put a tungsten filament in a bulb. You can put helium or neon or argon or krypton or xenon through it, and it will preserve itself. The only thing that eventually happens is that the tungsten itself becomes worn down over time. But in that gas, it doesn't react, so it can keep glowing. You can send electricity through it. It will glow. It'll provide light. It's a marvelous invention that we're thrilled about, because it gives us extra hours in our day we didn't have before. We used to have to use candles and God knows what else.
My favorite scene from Downton Abbey,
when
they finally got electricity and they had the big chandelier in the main hall.
Yeah.
And the granny walked in and she was just like, "Whew, my goodness, it is festive in here with all this light."
So this book is about the different experiments that have been conducted, because now they've discovered that you can actually make compounds out of xenon and krypton, and to a limited extent, argon. And of all the inert gases, the noble gases, argon's the most abundant in our atmosphere. It makes up about one maybe just more than 1% of the total atmosphere. But it does nothing. You know, it's just there.
So... just the joy in your voice.
I get so excited talking
about noble gases, right? Were you that guy? Were you that guy in the chemistry class that everybody loved to hate? As the class was coming to, you know, its zenith and an end, and the teacher was kind of closing it down, you then have this question that starts out the class again.
Oh. No, you see,
like 5 minutes to the bell.
Especially because if it was break time next... No one wants that guy, right? No one cares.
Were you that guy?
No, I was smart enough to. Even if I had questions, if it was break time, I wanted to go to break. So,
okay,
I could suspend my question until. But what I was very good at is wasting the teacher's time with questions like that, which the rest of the class loved, because it meant that they could mess around.
Ah, that's how you got into everyone's.
And
good
I did
voice.
That. I used to do that afterwards, even in radio with voice training, which we used to have, which I hated. There used to be these vocal exercises that they, like, these are the old days of radio when this stuff mattered and you had to sound like a radio presenter. Mm. There was a guy called Rob Vickers. You remember him, Pumi? 1,000 years old, shame. God bless him. I think he's dead now. But Rob Vickers was this ancient, ancient man. And he would come in and he would sit there. He had an Australian accent. He was from Australia originally. And he would sit you down and say, "Now, what I want you to say is literally, larrily, lorrily, lorrily." Mm. And you had to do it over and over again. And then red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry. And then you'd have to do these sibilance exercises to control the number of S's you would, how strong or how powerful or how potent your S's were in sibilance. Front of a microphone. Sibilance.
Sibilance.
So that you wouldn't pop in front of a microphone. Like stupid stuff like that. So what I realized about him is I could get him distracted about pretty much anything, and then I wouldn't have to pay attention during the vocal classes. So I'd say to him, "You know, Rob, how many time zones are there in Australia?" Well, that would start him off for about 40 minutes. That's all he would talk about. And then we'd come to the end of the time. I'd go, "Oh, you know, it's such a pity we didn't even get to our vocal training." He'd go, "Yes, but, you know, perhaps next time." And I'd just get out of there and I'd be, "Yes, distracted him sufficiently."
It's such a good skill to have.
It's great.
I think it is great.
And then I'm reading two other books. One is on, of all things, that I never thought I'd be interested in this at all, but it's kind of a little bit obsessive at the moment, is geology, which is linked to chemistry. But we have, I discovered yesterday on a quick Wikipedia search, mm-hmm. after reading something, we have the oldest rocks in the world in South Africa. Near Barberton, there's a range of mountains.
Yo, when last did I hear of Barberton?
There's a range of mountains that they estimate between 3.6 and 4 billion years old. There's nowhere in the world that comes close. Isn't that fascinating? That's where you get the oldest rocks. I mean, we've already got like all the human ancestors up the road here in Murupeng, and we spoke about that the other day. But rocks, in terms of all the dating methods we can find, those soft, gentle mountains in Barberton contain the oldest rocks in the world. Exposed rocks, obviously.
Which is why I love this country.
Isn't it spectacular? Like, we
love this.
Now, I just suddenly want to hop in a car and go to Barberton and collect a bunch of rocks. I mean, isn't it that's the dumbest obsession you've ever heard in your life, right?
Well, I have just Googled rocks. Barberton, and all I see, even in the town's pictures, are just mountains.
Yes,
and hills.
It's beautiful. I've
driven. Barberton is crazy.
Don't ask me. I've never stopped there. I've never paid much attention to the place. It's in Mpumalanga, right?
There's no skyscraper in sight.
No, there's nothing there that I want. I've driven through.
Not a mall.
Nothing. No, it's not that I'm looking to shop in
Barberton. There's no mall in Barberton. Like, it's a small town. Mm. I once shot a movie there in
Did
Barberton.
You have lived.
Wow.
So hot.
You have lived. Wow. Look at you, movie star Barberton.
No, I wasn't in the movie. Oh. I was... So yeah, don't you know this about me?
No, you could still go back there. You're probably the Spielberg there.
I'm actually a producer. This is what
a real qualification and job.
This is.
No. Everybody thinks, because Pumi's a multitasker, everybody reckons that she's one of those generalists. She's also a specialist producer.
I also have moments where, like on Tuesday, I was with a client and they asked us to bring safety boots and reflector jackets.
And you had some.
I had safety boots and a reflector jacket.
From a previous life.
from another job with another client. Because we went to check out the new trains. The new the new Prasa trains.
The ones that actually fit on the rails.
The ones that fit on the rails. The ones that are actually running. And they've got some 200 train sets that they're going to be rolling out in the country. So we went to see the new trains.
Uh-huh.
Went to the depot. Uh-huh. Walking around on the train tracks. And in that moment, I mean, in the sun, walking in my safety boots, I had a moment of going, this is not how I wanted my life to be. I just wanted to make movies. Now here I am, walking on ballasts.
No, no one's idea of fun, unless you're a massive train freak.
Although it was an incredibly fascinating experience.
Really?
So most of us, most South Africans who travel outside mm-hmm. of South Africa, we take the train, right? So when you get to New York, you take the train. When you get to Europe...
We did it in Germany last year.
Yeah, when you get to Europe, you take the train. It's not even a thing that you think about, right? But here at home, when we think about trains, we think about like stuffy, like sweaty workers. And also because the system is so far away from where we all are. And it's the architecture of what apartheid was like, really and truly.
Absolutely.
It is. Yeah. And that's kept us. But being on those trains, it's the exact same train sets that you have in Germany, that you have in New York.
Where are
these, they were built here.
Where are they going to run?
At the moment, they are running them around the corner from your house in your hometown, which is why I'm traveling to Pretoria so much these days. Mm. So it runs from Pretoria Central to Pinaspoort.
Where the hell's that? Where's Pinaspoort?
Pinaspoort is past Silverton. So you are Pitoli boy, right?
So east of Pretoria.
It's past Mamelodi.
So is that all they do? Just Pretoria Central to.
So because
how much traffic is there going to Pinaspoort?
This is the thing, right? So we took a train at about 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
And that train takes.
Does it stop in Mamelodi?
It stops in Mamelodi. So it has about 15 stops. Because they're perfecting the system, it's actually better than the Gautrain. The system inside the train, the communication, it's got Wi-Fi. The configuration of the trains. It's so cool.
So are you trying to persuade people now after this experience to hop on trains?
Well, we're still working on the management.
Okay.
To get it right, you know, because that's what I do every day. It's like management consulting. Mm-hmm. So we're working on the management, kind of how to communicate to the people. But the trains were full. The train at peak capacity takes about 3,000 people.
Great. Because those are people that aren't
3,000 people!
You know, those are people that don't have to use unsafe taxis. Those are people who don't have to be on the road. Those are people who can get to where they're going quicker than if they're in a car. Our roads, we know, can't handle the amount of traffic they've got at the moment.
And that thing, it's so a single trip.
And it's
from
inexpensive,
Pretoria
right?
Central
it's cheaper.
To Pinaspoort, 15 stations, and you can get off and on
how
anywhere
much?
Along. R8.50.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Pardon my ignorance. Is 3,000 people on one train more than the average? Like your metro,
how many
metro
carriages?
Rails?
So the current metro rail train sets take about 1,500 people.
So this has doubled.
This is double. And it's simply because of the configuration of the seats inside. Brilliant. And it is. Look, guys. I really was. And
that's fantastic. Good. I'm so pleased you told me that story. I feel better about Pretoria. I feel better about trains.
I feel better for the people around Pinaspoort.
Yeah, wherever that
I've never heard of before.
God bless them. God bless the people of Pinaspoort.
This is what is so... Because I don't know that area very well. And really, I'm just coming to know what's happening all along there. But the guy we were with, one of the executives we were with, was telling us how when he was younger, that's... Kuduspoort, Pinaspoort, Kuduspoort, Silverton.
You must be making one of these up.
I wish I was. He was like, when you were younger, if your uncle didn't get a job in these areas, y'all weren't making it in life.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, because that's where all the factories were. That's where there's quite a lot of factories. Because, you know. That's what black people did back in the day, Sia. They didn't get on the radio. They didn't have Rob Vickers.
Hey.
They worked at the... They worked in the Makishini, ne?
They were in Kudusfontein.
Or you worked at a factory in Silverton or Kudusport.
Well, I mean, weren't most people, even supposedly smart people, were laborers? Hmm. Like, that's what all of our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-great-grandparents did. They're basically laborers. Moving something from this place to that place, cracking open that rock, putting down that track that we can now use today. Mm-hmm. And I drove under this bridge here at Sunning Hill. You know the
yes,
the Rivonia Road off-ramp basically.
Yes.
And you know, on every bridge they've got a date. Mm. So that bridge was only built in 2010.
Mm. Yeah,
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah,
that interchange is very new.
So that's only 9 years ago, and you think about it, and you think, well, thank God they put that there because traffic would be so much more of a clusterfuck if it wasn't there.
What hell?
Huh? I mean, it's already... Look, it needed some... I don't know. They didn't think that one through so well. It's not the best of our on-ramps and off-ramps, but it's definitely better than what there was before.
Yeah, because all there was a traffic light and an off-ramp.
Basically, yeah. Basically, yeah. There was a traffic light and you could go onto the highway straight off the traffic light.
But that's...
Are you reading anything cool at the moment?
I am reading...
Uh-oh.
Becoming.
Oh, Michelle Obama.
Becoming. I'm reading Becoming, which is very fascinating. Of course, because we love Michelle. Love Michelle.
Yeah, but what's new in there that we didn't know? Because that's the stuff I'm interested in.
I was very fascinated.
She was always so refined and on point and well... You know, she was always just perfect in discharging all her duties, and she was a good mom, she was a good wife, she was a good first lady. I want to know some stuff I don't know about her. What have you discovered?
How ghetto the girl is.
Oh, really? Can she pull that out when she needs to? Because we haven't seen a lot of that, you know? She grew up in Chicago, right?
In the South Side.
Yeah.
And... at her age, there can only be a particular set of places and circumstances in which she grew up.
Yeah.
So that generally makes her ghetto, right? South side of Chicago.
Okay, sure.
And you kind of wonder. So when you see Michelle now all refined and like together.
Manicured to within an inch of her life. Yeah.
Although when she came out in those thigh-high golden Balenciaga boots, we were clear. We were clear. We're like, ghetto. Yeah, this girl. Scroll is from the hood.
I just want to go to Nobile quickly. Hey, Nobile, what's up?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Hello, what's happening?
Well, thanks, man. Oh, wait. Did I just hear Ngo? This is the first time ever someone said that in a long time since I moved to Joburg.
Yes, bye-bye.
That's a Zulu thing. You must be Zulu somewhere in your blood, my sister.
She's very Zulu.
I'm very Zulu.
I'm so proud of you, my Zulu sister. You know what? To converse in Zulu, in proper full Zulu in Joburg, is so rare. Because to be honest with you guys, to hear Joburg Zulu, it's like hearing someone scratching their nails on the board.
Naiman, don't be such a tribalist.
It's not about tribalism. It's like English. If you hear improper English, you kind of go iffy, don't you?
You know what? I have yet to discover the intricacies of the differences between Joburg Zulu and the real thing.
No, Garrett, that's an insult. Now that's an insult.
Listen, I can pick up from accents now. From accents and from certain vocabulary, I've started to pick up different geographical locations and different ancestral lines and all that kind of thing. But I'm nowhere near an expert. How can you? What's the biggest giveaway for a Joburg Zulu speaker?
If you ever hear a person using too many English words in a Zulu sentence, done.
Okay.
Zinglish. For example, when a person goes, oh Lord, I just want to hang them. that's just bad.
Is that Sia, for example?
No, I haven't heard Sia speak Zulu ever, so I don't.
Sia's the real deal.
My Zulu is down.
When you get him into a Zulu conversation, you know, and you proper.
Oh, uyazazi ifengo. Uyabaza ukamisa.
Yeah.
Ezaka isisho.
Yeah.
No, you're saying yeah. Yeah is not a Zulu word. It's yebo.
Yebo puti, yebo.
And puti is not a Zulu word either. It's yebo for it.
Okay, what great weather we are having today. I am loving the weather.
All right. So what did you want to talk about? Now we've gone on a tangent on Zulu. Not that it's a problem, but what did you want
to
bring up?
No. I was actually just wanted to comment on the penis port. I'm like, if there's a place called penis port in South Africa, I'm sure there's vagina town somewhere else.
I like it.
Like, I'm positive there's somewhere else. Because you have to have a balance. And also one more thing on what Gord said about gym, because right now I'm sitting here in the gym floor.
Yes.
He's taking offense too much with the weight thing.
Yes.
I think he's too good with his workout that, you know, he can put things proper. Some of us, you know, we can't last after we're done with the session. Weights are like Mount Everest, man, to move that stuff, bro. But I will say I've never seen weights at a steam room, ever. Now that's impossible.
Weights in a steam room. Is that what Gord was talking about?
Yeah, he did mention that. I recall, man. I was actually, I re-listened to that podcast again, like twice, just to make sure.
I wonder what gym he's going to, because I've never seen that either.
Yeah, like it's impossible. But yeah, I need to also just make a video on that part. But yeah, it's very annoying at gym. It's very annoying when you see some weights there and a person is plainly lazy, but weights at a steam room. Nope, never seen that. But yeah.
Well, good for you that you're in the gym this morning. I'm impressed. You set a good example for the rest of us. I've missed the last 2 days, and I feel like a slob. So
no ways, Garrett. Like every time I've went to gym to the Centurion, I've always seen you.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So, although Nobile, there is a place called, now listen to me clearly now, Muza.
Muza Hill.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know that.
Muza.
Yeah, see,
not Muza, not Muza, but not Muza, but
Muza. I know. Muza. I know the word play. Muza. I know what you mean. I know. So you have famous port Muza Hill. Yeah. Actually, it's a bit opposite because it should be Muza Hole. But anyway,
Ivan. Get back to your gym.
But have you ever heard in Pretoria they've got two streets that intersect? There's Cunt Street. No, really. And there's, what is it? I think it's, there's some other, it's like a penis, some Afrikaans derivation of penis, and the two intersect, like whatever it is.
Is that Pretoria Central?
Yeah, somewhere in Pretoria Central. They're two very rude streets.
I need to go there and check it out and take pictures.
That's an Instagrammable thing. I mean, with those two rude signs. I want someone to send a picture of themselves at Moza Hill.
That I want. I'm saying I am going deep into.
Yeah.
Wow.
There we go.
Ivan. Wow. Ivan. Okay. Go
Thank
back
you very
to,
much.
Go All back right. to Tim.
Thanks. Thanks, Moza Mobile. Yeah, I remember our former president once he made a speech from somewhere near Moza and he made a big out of that. He thought it was hilarious. He thinks a lot of stuff's hilarious that the rest of us don't. Oh, we've got the burning platform later on. Are you excited? Well, this morning we will tackle, along with Canton Pile, South Africa's Business Confidence Index, the SONA, which happens this afternoon or this morning. Are we excited about that at all? The ANC believes members implicated in state capture should be dealt with swiftly. There's some good news and plenty of other good stuff, including the EFF manifesto, which people are interested in. I saw a bunch of media houses helping to propagandize the EFF's manifesto by making it easy for people to download it. Has a party ever had such an easy ride from the media? And we've got to talk, Supra. Supra Mahumapa.
Supra is back. Yo,
and he's dancing.
Yes, he is back.
So we'll talk about
Don't
that.
Don't count
but
him
on this
out.
Video, this video that's been making the rounds about him celebrating. Uh-huh. When I first looked at it, I'm like, he is losing his mind. And poor Naledi Pando in the front here, just kind of like bobbing her head, trying to be part of it. But I'm not actually going to lose my mind about this.
Naledi Pando.
Naledi Pando.
Naledi Pando. Oh no, she doesn't dance. She gyrates. She doesn't dance. She shimmies from side to side.
I like her. Don't give her a hard time.
I did.
Remember Julius?
If we've got a minister who's spending too much time using a fake American accent.
Remember?
Where was she next time?
And she smacked him down. She was just
she did.
Boom.
Yeah, she did. She told him where to get off. All right. Do you want to know the five things you need to know this morning?
Yeah, boy.
Cool, because before we even start that, if data costs are killing you, you're not the only one. Your future could be lit with a game changer from Telkom. Become a Cliff Central listener, a series binger, a playlist connoisseur, the ultimate movie buff. You can get like Netflix now and a whole lot of these other services. Music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and cliffcentral.com. All of our podcasts without using your data. Isn't that good? And you can do that by accessing one of these Telkom lit bundles. It will sort you out cheap as can be. And you can get all of that stuff I just mentioned. Go to cliffcentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how to get lit with Telkom. And if you know someone who says, oh, well, you know, I'm listening to stuff that I don't really love. I need an excuse to start listening to other stuff, but I don't have data. Pass on the information to them.
Telkom's got the best packages, y'all.
I've
got a spreadsheet.
There we go. Wow. Pumi's compared them all. You know, she's got spreadsheets for everything. She has. She's such a nerd.
Well, says you with the oldest rocks in the world. Noble guesses.
Don't you start. That stuff's fantastic. All right. So get lit with Telkom and go to cliffcentral.com for more information. All right. Let's look at what's happening in the news. There's so much talk about weather. And I don't know whether that's exciting or not. Whether that's exciting or not. But for a lot of people, you know, in North America at the moment, they're going through one of their coldest winters ever, and they've had this polar vortex, which is a bit of an extraordinary occurrence. But last year was apparently the fourth hottest year on record. So the temperatures are becoming more extreme. And this comes out of Oslo, of all places. The outlook is more sizzling as approaching levels that most governments view as dangerous for the earth, a UN report showed on Wednesday. Weather extremes in 2018 included wildfires in California and Greece, drought in South Africa, and floods in Kerala in India. Record levels of man-made greenhouse gas emissions, mainly from burning fossil fuels, trap ever more heat. Average global surface temperatures were 1 degree above pre-industrial times in 2018. The UN's World Meteorological Organization said, based on data from US, British, Japanese, and European weather agencies. The long-term temperature trend is far more than the ranking of individual years, and that trend is an upward one, WMO Secretary General Petteri Talas said in a statement. The 20 warmest years on record have been in the past 22 years. Oof. So it's getting warmer.
Where's Al Gore?
Yeah. Global warming. I'm Al Gore, an inconvenient truth.
Except in that vortex, they may be kind of going, hey, where's the global warming?
Yeah, well, that's why Donald Trump went on and said, I don't see any evidence of global warming. It's colder than it has ever been. But he doesn't understand the difference, and many people don't, between climate and weather. Parents, teachers, and others have been urged not to interfere in a sexual abuse case at Valhalla Primary School. Apparently, a 55-year-old grade 6 teacher has been removed from the primary school after being implicated in the abuse of dozens of girls aged between 10 and 13. Dozens.
Horrifying.
The Gauteng Education Department has appealed to parents at a Centurion school rocked by allegations of sexual abuse to give authorities space to do their work. Because, you know, the parents want action now. And wouldn't you?
They want a lynching. That's what they want.
That's what they want.
That's what I would want.
Yeah, especially if it was your daughter or son. A 55-year-old grade 6 teacher has been removed from the school. He's been abusing these girls. They're aged between 10 and 13. Police are investigating a case of sexual assault against him. Department's Steve Mabona has cautioned parents from the primary school against interfering with the work of law enforcement agencies. We must desist from coaching our children on what to say. Because that's another thing parents will do, right? So they'll say to the kids, this is what you've got to say. Let the kids tell the truth, and let's have that as unadulterated, if you'll pardon the use of that word, as possible, so that we can find out exactly what happened.
So what I think is particularly horrifying about cases like this is this guy's 55 years old. He's been a teacher for at least 25 years.
That's right.
In those 25 years, what we don't... Can you imagine?
And how many kids were told by their parents, or not just by their parents, but by anybody that they had the courage to own up to that something was going on? Oh no, don't be silly. That's you couldn't be. He's been around for 25 years. Never have done that. It's always interesting to me also how, you know, usually you will find people who have a pedophile tendency going into jobs where they have contact with children. You know, if you think about this situation with that guy who was training the water polo kids
at Colin Ricks.
That's right.
At Parktown.
Parktown. And there are numerous other cases. You don't have to look far. It's always they're either teachers or they're priests or they're somewhere where they can get children.
The coach,
into their sphere of influence. They have a position of authority. It's all very disturbing, actually.
But it's human nature, isn't it, to go into the places that validate the things that that we want. So if you are like Sia, a big attention seeker, you get into media. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did Sia find himself here? We thought he was going to be a calculus expert.
I'm just so...
But it is interesting. And look, we've got to be super careful about this too, because clearly, there are very good teachers, very, very sensible, very caring, very loving, kind teachers who mean only the best for all the children in their care. And then there are people who, they've got a sickness. It's a sickness. There's nothing they can do about it. They got this attraction to little kids, and it's, to most of us, it's abhorrent. But there's something about that that we still have to understand. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know how to treat it. We just want to immediately lock these people away, but we don't think about what we lack in understanding here. There's something going on that we've got to crack.
Oh,
otherwise, kids are going to forever be in danger. And these people are going to put themselves in situations where they can cause irreparable harm to young and innocent minds.
Mm.
So, I don't know. We've got a lot of work to do. I mean, as a parent, how do you feel sending your kid off to school?
Dude, in this day
you
and
think
age,
about that stuff?
Everything is scary. So it's one of the worst things about being a parent for me is you spend all day, every day kind of learning to let go of your child from when they're born. That's what you're learning to do. You're learning to let them go. And it's so hard when there's so much stuff out there and you never feel that you have adequately prepared this person for handling those things, you know. So you want to have an open relationship with your child. You want to be able to have all kinds of conversations with them. But it's also, you know, it's a brave new world for all of us, for the parent and for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know. And the only way we know how to parent is the way we were parented.
Right.
So we're either trying to fix what we believe our parents did wrong with us, or replicate what we think they did right.
And then you might overcompensate or you might underdo it.
But the world is so different.
It's just an imperfect game, it's, parenting, right?
God,
you're never the perfect
it's
parent.
It's the worst game in the world. There's no rules. There's
Yeah. And somehow kids, because they're resilient, like kids survive. Somehow we're all here, which is testament to the fact that imperfect parenting gets you somewhere. You know? We're all here. You're alive.
And
pinch
that's
yourself
the
this
thing
morning.
About
you
the
it.
Human spirit, isn't
yeah,
it? Is we just
it.
we overcome it, we get through it, and every day we kind of try and unlearn the things that we should have learned and get better. Try and get better at the things that, you know.
Well, here's some good news. While we're looking at the five things you need to know, the Special Investigating Unit has welcomed the arrests of five men who were probed in the initial investigation into Bosasa and the Department of Correctional Services. Angelo Agrizi and four others appeared in the Specialized Commercial Crimes Court in Pretoria on Wednesday in connection with tender irregularities at correctional services. But I wonder who they're going for here. They're not going for the big dogs. You know, they're going for the small people. Like Angelo Agrizi might have been the chief financial officer or whatever. But where's Gavin Watson? I mean, they've got video and photographic evidence of him handling huge pallets of cash for no explicable reason. And he's not being sent to jail. He's not being arrested. He's not appearing in court. What's happening to Nomvula Mokonyane? What's happening to Dudumieni? What's happening to all these people who are on the take? It seems almost too easy that as soon as he's appeared in front of the commission, that he should be the one to be appearing in court. It's very odd. He did get bail. The SIU had investigated alleged corruption between the two entities with a report released in 2009. No action was taken then.
I saw a tweet by Vuyani Ngalwana, you're the advocate, right?
He
put a tweet up saying the thing for him about this like display, seven people arrested, hauled into court, and all of that kind of stuff. Is that, it looks like a feeble attempt to kind of dismantle what's happening at the commission. Because now, how likely are you to come forward?
Yeah.
If, like a greasy,
exactly.
You come forward and now you're like,
I'm not going to talk. Whistleblowing is dangerous. Mm-hmm.
But also, all of those people basically now become unable to testify.
Yeah.
They can't go to that because now they're part of an ongoing investigation. They can just say, sorry, I can't comment. You know, if I comment, I might jeopardize my own case.
Right. And now they're going to seek advice from their lawyers on what they shouldn't say, and therefore we're not going to be able to dig as deep as we need to go.
So I thought that was fascinating.
Mm. Scare tactics. Theresa May, does anyone care?
Yeah.
50 does anyone days, care? 49 days to go.
Well, she said she will call on the European Union to work with her urgently to change a divorce deal and help her win the support of a divided parliament to smooth Britain's departure from the bloc. Before arriving in Brussels for talks with EU leaders, May acknowledged that her task to force a change to a deal agreed almost 3 months ago would not be easy, and the government source said a breakthrough on Thursday was not expected. There's no breakthrough on the cards here. She will tell EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, European Council President Donald Tusk, and the European Parliament's Antonio Tajani that she wants to work urgently with them to secure changes. I mean, this just sounds like it's a farce. Just such a joke. God, I feel sorry for her, but at the same time, I don't.
No.
I think we might have to agree now, in the second week of February, that 2019 is busy, eh?
It's exciting. Yeah.
Are we going to get to December at this rate?
It's
one more thing you need to know this morning. Eskom says employees at Megawatt Park have returned to their workstations following a lunchtime picket outside the office. Workers abandoned their post on Wednesday afternoon. Who noticed, by the way? Anyone?
No. Nope.
Over the possible split of Eskom as well as retrenchments. Well, we figured out that you've got four times the number of people you need at Eskom to run efficiently. So yes, look around you. If there are four of you, three of you need to go.
Four of you not doing your jobs.
Mm. Yeah, who we didn't even notice were picketing. So I think those are the first ones we can get rid of.
Absolutely.
Like if you went outside and you were picketing at Eskom yesterday, then you're on the short list. Bye-bye. Great, you did the work for us. We don't need to investigate. So there it is. And then just quickly, I thought this might be interesting to people, particularly anybody who watches the investigation, crime and investigation channel, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently in Washington, the U.S. is set to carry out its first execution of 2019 on Wednesday. Ooh. A man convicted of murdering a police officer after 30 years of staying in jail during an attempted robbery. Robert Mitchell Jennings, 61, gunned down police officer Elston Howard in a Houston adult bookstore on the 19th of July, 1988, according to a court filing in local media. Barring a last-minute stay of execution, he will be put to death by lethal injection at a prison in Huntsville, Texas.
I don't know why they put people on death row for so long. So he's been in jail for 30
since 1988
years. Yeah. And this is when they decide, okay, yeah, he's
today's
going to die now.
Mm-mm. I mean, shame. Just, you know.
Yeah, there is some.
Let him carry on in jail. I mean, this guy, I guarantee you he's not the man that he was 30 years ago when he gunned down that police officer. Is there no room in the criminal justice system for people like this? As horrible as the crime is, and we know that there's huge sensitivity around police officers being shot in America and that kind of thing. This poor guy, I can't help but feeling sorry for him. You get strapped to that chair, they inject that, what is it, sodium pentothoate into you.
What, you mean you don't know the actual...
That is horrible.
Or is that the truth drug? I can never remember.
But, what, Gareth?
You know, when you hear of what happens to people on death row, that's suffering enough for 30 years. But once again, people get emotional around these.
I'm emotional about justice and the criminal justice system. Because in the past 3 weeks, I have seen at least three news stories about people who 40 years, 50 years, 70 years after they were sentenced to death, then become exonerated. Hmm. Oh, sorry, we got it wrong.
Yeah, that bothers me. I'll never...
Like, that just... It's unconscionable.
Remember Dead Man Walking?
Yeah, right. I mean, Dead Man Walking. What's the other one that had Sean Penn? The one with Sister John, whatever. And she's on Twitter, very active on Twitter, who's a big campaigner anti the death penalty. What with Sean Penn?
Yeah, and there was that other one as well that...
They are harrowing
these things. So many of
these
movies. You can't help but feeling sorry for the people.
They're harrowing these things. Like, you know, crime is abhorrent, we understand, and the varying degrees of it. But
Dead Man Walking.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one with Sean Penn.
Is that the one with Sean Penn? Yes. Oh, so I was thinking about The Green Mile.
Green Mile. Oh, what
with
a
Tom Hanks.
Oh, that movie. All right. Anyway, let's just move on. But this guy, they're
quickly move on. They're gonna probably, not talking about this
anymore. Well, it's not even in this country. This dude, they're gonna strap him to
it's
the chair.
It's inhumane, though. It's
they're gonna
inhumane.
Inject this stuff into his veins, and then he's just gonna. I mean, it's the if you're gonna die by any lethal means, which is it's within the definition, obviously. That was a little bit unnecessary. Mm. But if you're gonna choose your way of dying, this is probably not the worst.
Gareth, to get back on my pedestal that you set yourself up on
yes.
when we started the show,
yes.
you're going to have to tell me what exactly the chemical
sodium,
of their
sodium
uses.
Thiopental is what it is. I checked it out for you.
Yeah, I still think for me it's like either or. Why let a person suffer for 30 years and then kill them as well? Then why keep them alive for
you
those
know,
30
years? You know they used to give people an option, right?
Mm.
That you could either go with an electric chair or with the gas or... firing squad. You used to get a choice.
You could choose.
You used to choose. And that firing squad would be made up of five guys.
And they wouldn't know which ones.
And of the five guys, three of them would have live ammunition. And
two wouldn't. So you would never know.
So you would never know that you were the one. But also, you like the firing squad, you stand on the other side and you stare them down.
No, I think they put a blindfold on.
No.
You have to stare them down?
You don't have to stare them down, but that's where you are. You're on the other side. You're standing there. You're waiting for the shot.
I'd want to turn around and look the other way.
So, and I'll tell you this horrible story about one of the most famous taglines, right? Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Guess where the inspiration came from?
No, you lie.
From a firing squad.
From a guy, and I will remember his name, who was actually...
No way.
Firing squad. And so he got up there and he stood there and his final words were, "Let's do it."
That's unbelievable. So they turned that into Nike's tagline.
And the creative who had seen that story the weekend before thought it was, you know, so he just did it.
Thanks. Every time I put my sneakers on now.
Yeah,
I will have about someone.
Dan Wyden. Dan Wyden was the creative director on it from Wyden and Kennedy. Wyden and Kennedy, which is an ad agency that still exists to this day.
If you had to choose, what would you choose? Let's say you get convicted. Let's say Pumi goes on this murderous rampage and she kills like a million people. And then they capture her and they try her at The Hague. And they say to her, "All right, Pumi, you can choose. How do you want to die? You're going to die, so go and choose it."
I think firing squad.
Really?
You love a bit of drama. You yeah. wanna
I think
go
firing squad.
With a bang, literally.
I don't know. That
you
must
see,
be
very, that guess, very brutal. That guess.
That's very brutal, Pumi.
No, yeah, give me an injection. I think that's more peaceful. At least my corpse will be in one.
The injection shuts down your organs one by one. Have you not watched Grey's Anatomy?
No, you're just going to sleep and then...
Yeah. Never!
Yes, you do.
Yay!
It's got barbiturates in it and it's got anesthetics in it. So, yeah, you just peacefully go away.
Yay, guys.
Dying. Electric chair's got to be the worst.
You must never go peacefully.
Electric chair's got to be the worst, right? You fry. You're like...
Do you remember that episode of Black Mirror?
No.
The last episode. Oh my God, you have to watch it. This
if it has to do with an electric
museum,
chair, then
Museum
you're not
of Horrors,
watch it.
Yeah.
Museum of Horrors, where this guy, they've come up with this tech where you can harvest the consciousness of a person, and make it into a hologram.
Yeah.
And what this guy does?
Harvest the consciousness. Yes.
He gets the.
That's so disturbing. Jesus.
What is going on this
Harvest
morning?
The consciousness. All right, go on. So what happens? They strap him into a chair.
So and he was actually so the person who signs up for it, right? He tricks him and says, "Sign up for this mm-hmm. thing. Your family's going to get all this money." And so he was on death row and he was due to be executed by electric chair, right? So he harvests his consciousness. He puts him in a cell. And then he realizes that nobody wants to just come and see this guy as a hologram in this room. So he gets an electric chair. And that's the whole thing in this museum. You can come into the museum and you can like execute this guy. He's strapped down into the chair, and every time people would come in and you can actually like
pull the lever.
and watch him kind of get tortured.
Absolutely not.
Into death.
Miss me. Goodbye.
Guys,
that's it.
Not Black happening. Mirror, y'all. Black Mirror.
Listen, those electric chairs are so creepy looking. Just go into Google Image and just look up electric chair. First of all, it's made of wood. Mm. And then it's got these metal...
It has to, because it can't conduct the electricity, Moss.
I'll tell you what. Just looking at those... And they've got the control panel, which is system on, power on, electric chair energized, single or double. Electric chair failsafe. I mean, it's just unreal. You press this button, and then this, and they wore a pot, an upside down pot on their head
with a wet cloth underneath.
Yes,
because that's what you need. Because you know, to get the electric shock, like.
And then this thing would send huge amounts of current through you.
I don't know how this day became like this. I don't know how this day became like this, Gareth. This was a good day. I started out singing inspirational songs. Coming
now
into
here we
studio,
are now.
And we have degenerated into talking about executing people by electric chair.
In Nashville, Tennessee, they put someone to death by the electric chair in 2007. That's not that long.
Barbaric.
That's not long ago.
My bottom line is... my bottom line is I would never want to stay in prison for that long. Don't do that to me. I remember I actually had to research it quickly. I saw an interview of Anthony Ray Hinton. He's the author of a book called The Sun Does Shine. And he was on death row for 30 years before he was actually was discovered that it was a mistake. And he wasn't the guy who committed the crime. And he says he didn't even see grass for 30 years. And he stayed in this cement cell every single day, day in, day out. How you don't go crazy after all of those years. That's why I say it's suffering enough in my books.
And Rumlangeni, who's one of the last surviving
of the Rivonia
of the Rivonia trialists. He's still alive. And he talks about how what he missed the most when they were on the island is hearing children laugh and play. Mm-hmm. Like you take that for granted, right?
Yeah, I can't stand that sound, frankly. I'm thinking Robben Island's where I need to go to.
Just for a bit of a breather.
What? Gareth, the joy, the exuberance of life.
I got these little girls who live two houses from me, and they scream about it. Everything's worth screaming. Everything's scream. There's nothing going on. They're chasing each other around the garden or jumping in the pool or I don't know what they're doing.
Do you want to offer them up somewhere?
I want to give them up for adoption and they're not even mine.
Which was also a thing that I read in the book, Children of Men. Do you remember that there was a book, Children of Men? It was a bestseller. There's also a movie about it, like the last living. So human fertility, of course, what happens in dystopian futures is like...
Humans run out of the ability to procreate. Yeah,
we're ready for that right now.
Yeah. Yes.
And the youngest person alive was 16 years old, born. Was 16 years old. Everybody's dying out, right? And fertility and all. And there's a pregnant girl. And one of the scenes, this pregnant little girl who's also just like a 20-year-old or whatever, one of the women who's tasked with looking after her and kind of her prenatal care so that this child can be born, talks about how not hearing the sound of children just makes life devoid of the hope of a future.
Yeah, I get that. I kind of get that, I think.
But not every single day in the garden.
I don't really, not necessarily these particular neighbors.
The door opens.
All right, let's get to said good. By Sia. It's something you need to uplift you this morning. Go ahead, Sia.
Let's live spirits. Jeez, after this morning. So everybody's talking about the polar vortex currently happening in the US, right?
Yes.
And everyone is being advised to stay indoors and protect yourselves, and you know, but you actually think about it, some people actually might be risking their health by staying indoors and not having any sort of assistance. And the likes of old people who need medication and people who can't go out to their doctors, well, cue this amazing, amazing pharmacist in Michigan of all places, who really is so selfless and is doing something so cool in order to help some of her patients. Her name is Andrea Cusack, and she works at a local pharmacy in Michigan, and she thought, I have all of these patients who need my help, and how will I actually get to them? Some are elderly, some are really so sick that they can't move around. Well, she went to her 15-year-old son, and she was like, yo, that snowmobile that you have and that has been stocked up in the garage and it's hardly of any use, well, give it to me and let me help some people.
You're kidding me? She got on a snowmobile and started delivering?
How cool. And I actually think it's so cute as well. Andrea took her 15-year-old son as well to help her operate this. And there she was with a bag full of medicine, and she was delivering this in the middle of the cold and the snow.
Like Santa Claus, only on a snowmobile.
The Santa Claus of pharmacists. I think it's so awesome. One particular patient who was helped out was Wayne Musebeck. He's very, very old, and his prescription was already out and finished. And there's this very cute
Wayne picture. Very, very old.
He's very old. I mean, he's a professional cardigan wearer. But there's a cute picture of Andrea actually delivering medication to Wayne.
On the snowmobile.
Yeah, it's so cute, actually. Right. It's Andrea and her son. And Andrea has just been described as a hero, but she says, she put this up on her Facebook, she says, regarding all of the press, I was just doing my job, taking care of my community that I care about. I never expected this kind of response. I'm honored to serve my community. And while our time keeps being requested for news interviews, I want to assure our customers that your health and medical needs are my first priority.
A pharmacist who cares.
Goodbye, sis. Goodbye. You are done. That's your advice here for this morning.
All right.
This is CliffCentral.com.